This segment of the Avaya Podcast Network is sponsored by CashFly. Deliver content fast with CashFly. Visit CACHEFLY.com to learn more. This is the Avaya Podcast Network. APN. Technology, news, and information.
All in one place.
How not to deal with 911 at a PBX? That's coming up next on the E911 Talk Podcast, episode 178, recorded Friday, December 27th, 2013.
You're listening to the Avaya Podcast Network. Now here's your host, Mark Fletcher, Chief Architect for Worldwide Public Safety Solutions at Avaya.
While many of the podcasts and lists we create focus on how to do something or a best practice, of equal value are lists that show how not to do something. With the recent tragedy on December 1st, 2013 in Marshall, Texas, the 9-year-old daughter of Carrie Hunt watched as her mother was brutally stabbed to death by her estranged husband in a hotel room. Allegedly, the 9-year-old tried to dial 911 from the hotel room phone, but was unable to due to a 9 being required for an outside line. Now, the incident sparked a number of comments, some of which are good common sense, but others that may sound logical, but when you look at the problem closely, it becomes clear that these may not be good practices. Placards. Probably the most common knee-jerk reaction that I hear is to put a sticker on the phone that says dial 9911 for emergencies. Well, the problem with placards is that you're assuming everybody's primary language is English, which is not the case. You're assuming that someone will read the placard, might not happen in an emergency, and don't forget about persons who are blind. And then you have the case where a small child may know to dial 911 and may not be able to read, dialing 8 for an outside line instead of 9. There's a popular belief that the reason you cannot dial 911 directly from a telephone behind a PBX is because of the conflict that 9 is used to make an outgoing call. Well, while this may have been true many, many years ago, it's simply no longer the case in most modern communications telephone systems. In the past, 9 physically connected you with an outgoing trunk, where today, most systems collect all of the dialed digits, analyze them for routing, and then make a trunk selection to place the call on. Now, granted, some programming is typically needed, but dealing with 911 directly and 9911 is a simple administrative task that should be taken care of by the telephone installer. The fix is not to allow 8 for an outside line, but to allow 911 to reach 911. Locally terminating 911. This is one that really gets under my skin. A common request by many large corporate entities is to redirect 911 calls to a local security desk, where the calls are then answered internally. They do this because it's commonly assumed that on-site individuals are better equipped to deal with an emergency and can do it faster. Actually, this is a fatal assumption to make for several reasons. Unless the position where you're terminating the 911 calls to is staffed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and has the ability to handle multiple simultaneous calls by a trained individual, you're potentially exposing an internal 911 caller to the risk of not having their 911 call answered. Additionally, public safety 911 dispatchers are typically certified as an EMD, or emergency medical dispatcher. They've been specifically trained to deal with emergencies and can provide basic instructions, what they refer to as protocols, that can provide a little bit of breathing room in the response time. For example, if someone is choking, they can provide instructions on how to perform the Heimlich maneuver. If someone is bleeding, they can provide basic first aid instructions that can give first responders precious extra minutes to get to the scene. Confusing and unclear 911 legislation. Quite often, 911 laws have been made in a vacuum and without the input from the industry technologists. Because of this, the legislation that does exist in the 18 states that have it can be unclear or ineffective. The National Emergency Number Association, NENA, published a model legislation in 2008. This legislation was crafted by industry experts and public safety representatives to provide a baseline of functionality for owners and operators of multi-line telephone systems, MLTS PBX. Some of those baseline functions are access to 911 with and without a trunk access code. Go figure. As we said, dialing plan conflicts are often no longer an issue with modern communication systems. people are taught to dial 911 from a very young age. It's critical that this functionality carries forward on all devices, regardless of what they're attached to. Location granularity aligning with fire alarm zones. Now, one of the common areas of discussion around emergency calling from behind a PBX is what specific granularity of location should be provided to the Public Safety Answer Position, or PSAP. Now, you'd immediately think that the most granular information is the best, right? Well, what you need to stop and realize is that while cubicle 2C231 may be extremely relevant to people within the building, public safety first responders do not carry floor plans, and this extraneous information means nothing to them. And because of that, quite often, it's never even given to them, even if it's provided. Before a first responder can provide assistance, they need to be able to arrive at the right building and at the right entranceway. Once they get there, local on-site responders should be well aware that they're coming and also should have knowledge that a 911 call has taken place. This is so they can take proactive steps in providing access or even first aid while public safety is en route. On-site notification of 911 call events. This functionality, as mentioned in the previous paragraph, really is the key to situational awareness that an event is or has taken place. It allows internal responders to confirm and assist the person who has dialed 911 without getting involved in the 911 call path, and provides notice that first responders are on the way so that preparations can be made. This ensures access doors are unlocked, elevators are available, and hallways are unobstructed. There's a large misnomer in the industry that E911 functionality in a PBX is one that is expensive to implement and administratively difficult to maintain. This is a remnant from companies with technologies designed to manage user mobility in the Public Safety PSALI database and tracking user movement. By removing the requirement to manage at the station level with information that is cryptic and not even useful to public safety, the cost of the solution is significantly reduced, as well as the simplicity is significantly increased. Not to mention the elimination of monthly recurring charges that are no longer needed. With increased simplicity, there's a more likely chance of deployment. With a more likely chance of deployment, incidents similar to what happened in Marshall, Texas, can become a thing of the past. Don't get caught up in the hype. Barging in on a 911 call, recording a 911 call, getting involved in the 911 call path are all knee-jerk reactions that are not considered best practices by the industry. Providing situational awareness and ease of access to 911 are things that are both built into most PBX systems today. And that's where the focus on 911 should be. The 911 Talk podcast is brought to you by the Avaya Podcast Network. Our executive producer is Jean J.T. Turjan. Our producer and Latin American correspondent is Guadalupe Eugeni. The APN legal advisor is attorney Martha Beyer. And the official APN voice dude is Spider Harrison. I'm Mark Fletcher, APN Program and Creative Director. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @Avaya_APN and check out our landing page at Avaya.com/APN, where you can download all of our content. For the Avaya Podcast Network, this is Fletch. Have a happy new year. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
You're listening to APN, the Avaya Podcast Network. Find us on the web at Avaya.com/APN.